Hi, I'm Dave O'Neill.
I'm Kitty Flanagan, and we're from the Sweet and Salty Roundabout, also known as
The Junkies. So please tune in. If you're listening to Ingridopedia with Ben and Emily, you'll probably like our show.
Yeah.
We do. We talk about lollies, chips, chocolate.
Yeah. They probably talk about better food than we do. They've a better got some, class of food.
They've got some great episodes here. I've just been having a bit of a listen. Very good. In fact, I'm going to steal some of the ideas. Anyway, whatever.
If you need a sugary break, switch over to The Junkies.
The Junkies, where you find all your podcasts.
Ian Huey Hewitson is an iconic TV chef, and like all great Australian icons, he's from New Zealand. Huey made his mark as the chef on pioneering 90s lifestyle show Healthy, Wealthy and Wise, and his own show, Huey's Cooking Adventures. Although he's been off our small screen for a few years, Huey, his braces and his tea towel are back on TikTok. And we were lucky enough to talk to him about his return to the screen, albeit a much smaller one. Ian Huey Hewitson, thank you so much for joining us on Ingridopedia Bites. It's an absolute honour.
Absolute pleasure, guys.
I was so excited when I saw your face pop up in my TikTok feed. It instantly took me back to sick days at home and watching Huey's Cooking Adventures. I just wondered what the response has been like to you being on TikTok.
It's been amazing, actually, because it was my daughter Charlotte's idea. And she said to me, she said, now don't expect too much because it's a young audience, you know. And I hate to say it, and I know you'll be amazed at this, but I'm not young. So we were absolutely boggled when we got, because from the first instance, you know, within a couple of weeks, we'd had 1 million hits. And all these people say exactly the same as you.
Wow.
We watched you after school. We watched you when we were sick. You got us into the kitchen, all those kind of things. There was actually quite a few. He said, we thought you were dead, but I'll forget. Actually, there was one lady who said she'd gone to my state funeral. I thought that was really good. A Kiwi boy with a state funeral. It turned out to be Big Kev.
I'm sure.
You know, remember Big Kev? Oh, well, who knows? As long as it's not too soon.
No.
I do want to go back a little bit, because you did mention, you know, the TV shows that you're known for. What do you think your most loved dish from Huey's Cooking Adventures and those days was? Like, you know, what got the most fact sheet downloads?
That's always a hard one, because, you know, you lose sight of them, because I did millions of dishes over the years. I suppose the first one that I ever did was a warm chicken salad, before warm salads became all trendy and cool and everything like that. And we got thousands and thousands and thousands of write-ins for the recipe, because in those days you used to write in for them. And the next week I thought, oh, how easy is this? So I did a slightly more complicated recipe and I got one request. So that brought me back down to earth. And I won't say what the boss said, because I think, you know, we'd have to add a few expletive dropouts, I suppose you'd call them. He wasn't impressed, shall we say.
So something we often ask our guests is, what is the one ingredient that you couldn't live without?
Butter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an awful thing, because people keep saying, oh, you use so much butter. I don't think I use so much butter, but it certainly is what I was brought up with. But I'm also pretty keen on garlic and chilies too. So it's not just butter anymore. And I use a lot of olive oil, so... I think the thing is, I like anything with flavour. I think that at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. It has to have some guts. I don't like bland food. So whatever makes a dish, you know, gives it a bit of oomph, I like it.
It has to have some kick to it.
How much salt is just a touch in Huey
diets? It depends how much you like salt, doesn't it? Just a touch. Yeah, smidgen.
Okay, good.
All right. I'm interested to know, Huey, your fridge would contain some delicious things, I'm sure, but what is the oldest thing in there?
When you say oldest by age, or the thing that I've always had in there?
By age.
By age, oh. Well, I suppose it comes. No, you know, the fridge. I don't think I have anything that's actually. I'm telling lies. I must admit, I've got this thing about, you know, people say to you about wrapping things up and putting them in the fridge. A mate of mine once said to me, he said, what you do is, he said, when you've got leftovers, you wrap them up terribly neatly, then you put them in foil and wrap them up once again, and then you throw them in the bin. And I can understand a bit, because we all have these days when we go into our fridge and we find these things that are growing, you know, there's sort of strange blue things on them. Because you're always going to use that little bit of thing. Always. And you don't. So when you say, what's my oldest thing? I think I tend to throw things out these days. So I just have the basics in the fridge. And I must admit, when I'm buying, I purchase what I need as opposed to what takes my fancy at the moment. Actually, I'm telling lies. We all do take something special. So, oh, look at that. Stofies. I'll have those. And find those at the end of the fridge a week later.
We talked a little bit about the older shows. What do you think is an ingredient that deserves to make a comeback that maybe has lost a bit of popularity?
Beetroot. I cook with beetroot every now and then, and they're always my least popular recipes. And I think the only thing Australians think they're good for is putting them on a burger. And half the time they say, I'll leave out the beetroot. So I love beetroot. I think it's the most beautiful vegetable. But I do like all those old-fashioned root vegetables, things like swedes and turnips and parsnips and all those kind of things. So I think we tend to look for the trendy things, like, as I was laughing before about snow peas. We look at things like that as opposed to something that is absolutely bloody delicious and is not too dear, you know, which is root vegetables. Love them. Mm.
I wanted to ask, what is your favourite thing to eat out of the tin or the jar?
Oh, well, I do like olives, I have to be honest, but I love anchovies. Absolutely adore anchovies, particularly the really good ones. You know, I mean, you have different standards of anchovies, and I like those white ones, which are delightful.
No, they're my favourite thing in the whole wide world. Yeah. Like, we are anchovy obsessed.
Yeah, on some good toast and, you know. Mm. Yeah,
or even doubling up white anchovies and regular anchovies on toast. That's also delicious.
I believe you. I haven't tried that. I must both. All right, I'll try both next time.
A non-food question for you. How many pairs of suspenders do you own?
Well, I reckon I've got 100, but I think I've lost some of them along the way. My wife tells me I've got 50, so I've got 50 then. But people used to send them to me and things like that. And I used to send somebody to say, can I have a pair of your braces? I'd send them those. So I think that's what's happened with the 50. The only ones I don't give away, the fruit ones, you know, the ones with the chilies and the tomatoes and the lemons and things. Right. They are not made anymore. They actually come from New Zealand. So they don't get given away. But the other ones, you know, they come and go.
They're far too iconic.
Yeah, can I tell you a story about, I don't actually wear braces in the real world, because I was sitting in the Beverly Hilton once, and the fire alarm went off. No one moved. And I said to the barman, aren't we supposed to do something? And he said, oh, no. He said, we've got a new general manager and he loves fire alarms. So we all sat there. And then the lift opened and this little guy got out and he was in his pajamas and he had this pink hat on. And I called the barman over and I said, isn't that Bob Denver? Now, Bob Denver, if you remember, was Gilligan in Gilligan's Island. Now, I don't know whether you remember, but he always wore this pink hat. And I said, what the F? I won't repeat that. I said, what the F is he doing in his pajamas with his pink hat? And he said, he's frightened that no one will recognize him. So that's why I don't wear braces. I would hate to get to that stage. So I tend to only wear them in the, you know, when I'm doing a gig these days.
Fair.
And I guess another iconic signature Huey thing is wiping the plate when you're presenting a dish. We wondered, do you still wipe the dish with a tea towel when you're cooking for friends and family?
Or is absolutely, absolutely. And I think the thing about it is too, is people used to write into me, and actually I got an email recently, you know, since TikTok, say, you don't wipe your plate anymore, Huey, what's wrong? But the thing that people forget is that, you know, it's a commercial thing. You do it in commercial kitchens. But you go through about 100 tea towels a day, so they're always spotlessly clean. So I used to get these letters and emails and things saying, you know, you dirty bugger, what are you doing with your tea towel? And so I thought, oh, well, I better change it. So I started using paper towels. And then I started getting emails from people saying, do you realize you've just used three trees to wipe your plate? So I went back to tea towels after that one. You can't win, can you?
Can't win.
And it was only two trees, by the way. It wasn't three.
What do you think the secret is to plating food well?
Well, I think the thing about it is I remember Anne DeShane, who was a very good restaurateur at Melbourne, saying to me once, she said, you should throw the food at the plate neatly, but so it doesn't look like 100 people have had their fingers in it. And I think the thing about it is, yes, you do want it to look nice, and you really do. But, you know, these people that spend hours, you know, cutting and changing it and all this kind of thing, by the time you get the food, it's bloody cold. And then they have to take a photograph of it, so it's even colder. So I think the thing about it is throw it on the plate and do it neatly, but without too much mucking around with it.
I guess we know a lot about what you like to cook for lunch and dinner type meals, but I'm interested to know, what's your favourite kind of standard everyday breakfast?
Vegemite on toast. I think I have Vegemite on toast every year, and a glass of very cold milk. That's my breakfast, and it is nearly every day, I must admit. I'm not a cooked breakfast man. I would actually, I suppose I'd have to say my grandmother, because my father was a Scot, and my grandmother, who was very much geared to the Scottish way of cooking breakfast, where you got about 4,000 things, black pudding, I did love. I haven't had it for years, but I loved black pudding. And she used to make her own, and she used to cook it for breakfast for all of us. That was bloody wonderful.
Definitely getting a dairy vibe. You like your glass of milk,
yes,
in the morning. You'd like your butter. Is that, you know, is that a New Zealand, you know, growing up around in a good dairy climate?
Well, I think the thing about it is in New Zealand when I was a kid, butter and cream and everything like that was all subsidised. You know, they were looking after the farmer, so it was always cheap. My mother used to cook bacon and eggs in butter. I mean, you think about it now, my God, you wouldn't do that. But butter was cheap, as was milk, as was cream. And we also had, you know, the man who used to come around to the house and deliver the butter and the bread and everything in early in the morning. So, and actually, when I first came to Australia, you were still doing that, but they were doing it on a horse and cart where I was living at that time. So, you know, you used to be able to get things like that. And I think they tried to bring them back, but cheap butter, that's what it was, cheap milk, cheap cream.
Another ingredient question for you. What's your most used condiment? What do you think you'd reach for the most?
Oh, that's a hard one. That really is. If you were talking about one of my favourites, you'd be talking about Asian ingredients like soy and things like that, which I do use a lot. In fact, when I make a tomato sauce, I always add soy in it. So I suppose you'd look at something like that.
All right, final question. What's the next thing you're going to eat?
Well, it's at night. I've had dinner. So Vegemite on toast. Breakfast, you see. Oh, yep. I'm a smart ass, aren't I?
Not at all.
No, that's why we like you.
Huey, I've just got a question without notice. I know that you were a musician before you became a TV chef. I was a musician before I was a food podcaster.
Well, I hope you had a lot more talent than me.
Emily always gives me stick because I bring up the fact that my band supported Green Day at every opportunity that I can bring up. Do you have any of those close shaves with musical fame that you like to bring up from time to time?
Well, it was in New Zealand, but we won, two of my bands won the New Zealand Battle of the Bands, which was like the Hoagley ones over here. So yeah, we did all right. I always said that I didn't have the talent, but you know, We did reasonably well. We didn't support any big acts because in those days we weren't getting a huge amount of big acts. But I do remember going and seeing the Beatles when they came to New Zealand, and I also saw the Who and Small Faces, who were fantastic. And my favourite was the Pretty Things, who decided to light the curtain at the Whanganui Town Hall. They decided that they should burn the bloody place down. They were fun.
Did they get deported or something from?
I think they may have. Yes.
Yeah.
I think most of them got deported. I remember the funniest thing was that Roger Daltrey saying to who did he said it to Kenny Jones? I think no, Paul Jones, who was supporting them. Paul Jones from the Manfred Mann. And Roger Daltrey said, you and I, talking to Paul Jones, he said, you and I are the only sane ones on this tour. And he said, I'm not too bloody sure about you. Because you had Moon the Loon and Pete Townsend, who was pretty strange. And then Stevie Marriott and all those people, you know. Mm. Anyway, no, we didn't support any big bands. We certainly didn't support Green Day. But I think Green Day were—it's a little bit before my time, or after my time, after my time.
A little bit.
I can't believe you dropped that into Huey.
Amazing
that
I managed to do it.
Yeah, we went in. We were talking about bloody food. Remember? Yeah, does he drop this in every time?
Oh, every time at any opportunity, he's like stopping people on the street. Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
It's not true. But speaking of brushes with fame, Ian Huey Hewitson, thank you so much for being on Ingridopedia Bites. It's been an absolute honour speaking with you.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Anytime.
So that was Ian Huey Hewitson. You can find him on TikTok at Huey_on_TikTok. And you can find us there too at Ingridopedia. We'll be back next week with a full episode.